Welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tejon Graham, and the quest to 100 episodes continues. So as you've heard in the last episode, you know, I'm on the quest to get to 100 episodes where I will have a very special guest. If you guys follow me, you guys got to wait to find out, but just know we're continuing to the quest to 100 episodes. Today, I have a very special guest. You know, this is someone who I've really become friends with over the last few years. We've been here for 5 years as well. We've been in this crazy place called North Bay the last 5 years, both from big cities, so we got a lot to talk to. But, from the men's hockey team, here's one thing about him. You know, his name looks like Matthew, but he's French, so please don't call him Matthew, so I'm going to say his name properly. Please welcome to the show my guy, Mathieu French.
What are you saying, bro? It's
about time. But yeah, 5 years, that's a long time, and no disrespect to North Bay, but, you know, like you said, being from a not as big of a city from you, but being from Ottawa and then coming here, you know, you it grows on you a little bit, in a good way and in a bad way. But, you know, already messing up.
Hey, what are you going to do?
But, yeah, been a long time. 5 years. It's flown by. We've been through COVID and here we are.
Yeah, man, let's get right into it, man. So, obviously, you know, both of us just finished our seasons. You know, we're in the March. We're kind of the off-season phase right now. You know, you got one more year. I'm done. But let's talk about your season. So obviously last year we kind of were both in the same camp, but unfortunately both our teams really underperformed.
Yeah.
But this year you guys definitely took a step up and were able to make it back into playoffs and playing situations. So just talk a bit about the turnaround that your team had this year.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting because we didn't lose many guys from the year before, so we only ended up graduating one, and then a player decided to transfer away. So there wasn't a big turnaround. It was the same group, but we were lucky that our first years came in and contributed right away and really fit in. And I think that this year for us, it was just getting back to the culture we had. You know, I think that, you know, for us last year, it was just kind of like a year that was just a write-off that, you know, you don't want to talk about. It was just getting back to the culture. Like, and I think it's the same for every team that's at NIP, is that, you know, you're not heavily recruited a lot of the time. You know, you come here with something to prove, and I think that, you know, if you can embrace that, like a few of the teams here have, like it's only beneficial for you, and it gives you a leg up on a lot of teams. And I think that that's really what we did. We just kind of got back to, you know, understanding that we got to have a little bit of dog in us. And, you know, when you do that, especially in men's hockey, like anybody can beat anybody. And I think it's the same for you guys, where that's kind of what the OUA is, where everybody kind of beats everybody. So yeah, it was a good year. And the only, the best silver lining for it is that we're graduating our captain, Parker Bowman. But that's
shout
it.
Out.
Shout out. Playing pro now. So
big
up to him. Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be nice. We're only graduating him, so it's another chance for this group to grow together. And next year, I think we graduate 9 or 10 players.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's going to be a big year, just kind of combining two graduating classes because of COVID and all that. But, very excited for next year. But this year, definitely a step back in the right direction.
You know, let's talk about what we know, men's hockey. The OUA landscape is very different with hockey because
every other
sport, basketball, volleyball, soccer, has strictly Ontario.
Yeah.
I think you guys are the only sport where you guys have some Quebec teams or Quebec schools in your conference, specifically in the East, that you guys got to travel to. So just talk about that for those who don't know, kind of what that travel is like for when you guys got to go to another province to play, especially since North Bay is not close.
Not close, no. And it's different for a number of reasons. I think the biggest reason besides like the travel is that, you know, when we show up, usually we're 21 years old.
Right.
Just because of the, you know, hockey is a little bit important here in Canada. So there's a good junior hockey system. So once you're done, you know, playing your minor hockey, you have somewhere to go. You know, a lot of the guys play in the OHL or the QMJHL, but even there's tier two junior A leagues. So it's different from that perspective where everybody that's playing in the league is already 21 and, you know, you're a man by then. Like you're fully grown. And I think that's the biggest difference. But the Quebec schools, it definitely adds a wrinkle, especially because all three of them that we play, Concordia, McGill, and Trois-Rivières, are very, very good.
Yeah.
I think, the East final is Trois-Rivières and McGill this year. And, Trois-Rivières has won the OUA, I think, like 5 of the last 7 years. And I think Quebec teams, I think the last two Ontario teams to win it was Guelph, and then I think before that would have been Queens. But the Quebec schools really dominate. Just because they get a lot of those good, like, Quebec junior players to go there, and, you know, a lot of the schools, you know, pay. We're not going to throw out accusations, not saying that. My hands are up. It's just different, and the travel from here is it's interesting, man. Like, we always have a road trip where either you do both Montreal schools or you do one of the Montreal schools and Three Rivers. And Three Rivers is 7.5 hours away.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And, like, my first year was the worst. We traveled to Three Rivers, played them, and then on the Saturday night at 7 o'clock played McGill and then got stuck in a snowstorm.
Oh, gosh.
So your six-hour drive from Montreal turned into a 9.5-hour drive, and you're getting in on Sunday morning at 6:30. So, yeah, those were interesting times. But, yeah, it's totally different. But, yeah.
Do you know why the league is like that, for like specifically for Quebec? Is it because there's so limited schools that they play in that league because there's more teams? Like, do you know why? I've always been curious about
There's a rule in the OUA, or U Sports, I guess, where, and the same goes for the NCAA, is that if you're a school, you have to have the same amount of men's varsity teams than you do women's, obviously, and I think that's a great rule.
As it should be,
Absolutely. So a lot of the Quebec schools that have football don't end up having a men's hockey team. So like the University of Laval, University of Montreal, Bishops, I think even Sherbrooke, University of Sherbrooke, I know they all have football, and because of that, they have women's hockey to kind of counterbalance that.
Okay.
So there's only the three teams from Quebec. So I think that, like, if you look at like women's hockey, the Quebec schools and the two Ottawa schools are actually their own division or their own conference.
Yeah.
But because in men's hockey, there's a lack of those teams in Quebec, they all get kind of roped into the OUA. So it's definitely challenging. And like you said, like, they're all in the East, and the East is probably like top to bottom the most competitive division in the whole of the U Sports. Like this year, I think at one point they had four teams within the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, and that's the division that we were in last year and have been traditionally, and then for travel reasons got moved to the West. And
you guys got moved to the West?
Yeah, we did this year for the first time, and yeah, it was nice, man.
So who is in your division now that you're in the West?
It's the Toronto schools minus York, because York's the one that got moved to the East, and they're not. Oh. Yeah, so kind of feel bad for them, but I don't feel bad at all.
Let's be honest, have to deal with that no more.
Hell no, bro. but yeah, so the like TMU, Toronto, Laurier, Guelph, Waterloo, Lakehead, Windsor, and there might be one or two that I'm forgetting, but that's kind of the gist of it. So still a lot of travel, like Thunder Bay. We had to go to Thunder Bay this year, so that was interesting. And Windsor is quite a trek also, as you know.
We did that last year. We went to Thunder Bay this year, so Thunder Bay is a crazy trip. You know what's crazy? When we went to Thunder Bay, because we're traveling friends with Laurentian.
Yeah.
Laurentian actually drove there.
That's crazy. Only an hour. There's like an hour and a half difference.
We heard that they drove there, so it's crazy.
Our travel day to Thunder Bay this year was crazy, because we flew out on Thursday morning. So drove on a bus to Toronto, took the plane to Thunder Bay, played them Friday night, and then Saturday morning we woke up Saturday morning and we didn't know where we were going to play. We knew that the play-in game was going to be Sunday, but we still could have gone to Windsor. We still could have had to either stay in Thunder Bay or play Laurier. And then it worked out that we ended up playing Laurier. So we flew from Thunder Bay to Toronto and then got on a bus from Toronto to Laurier on Saturday and then played them Sunday night and then unfortunately lost in overtime and then drove back after the game on Sunday. So that was a long weekend, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot of travel.
Yeah. I remember seeing you, we parked next to each other, we were talking about before you left. So we don't, and even Doc was saying too, like, the men's hockey team doesn't know where they're going to play. No. Do they got to stay in Thunder Bay? Do they got to travel back to Toronto and go X, Y, and Z? So, speaking about that, you know, obviously, this year was kind of interesting because obviously now there's a lot of the playing systems with OUA and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Really trying to come with the NBA, which is interesting. But kind of talk a bit about that game. So obviously you guys lost in overtime. But what do you think it was? Unfortunately, do you think, were you guys tired? Was it just bad luck? Like, kind of what happened in that game?
Well, I think that fatigue definitely played a factor in it, obviously. But, you know, you don't want to sit here and make those kind of excuses. But I think for us, like, if you just kind of look at how our season went, we were, fourth place going into the break at Christmas in our division, and we were feeling really good. And then, our schedule after Christmas was just crazy. Like, we played one team, which was Western. We played them twice that weren't in the top three in their division. So, you know, we had to go. We played McGill. We played UQTR. We played TMU. We played Brock. And those four teams are in the conference finals right now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, our schedule was just tough. So we had a really bad end to the year. And I think that, you know, the problems that kind of plagued us for the whole second half kind of put themselves into, like, if you know, you can encapsulate one game that, like, kind of encapsulated our whole second half, it would have been the game against Laurier. Like, you know, you can't expect to win when you're winning 2-0 and then you're up 3-1 and then with 4 minutes left you have the lead, and then they ended up scoring with 6 seconds left to tie it.
Oh wow.
And then you know, not to sound pessimistic or anything, but you know, I'm sure you know, like, you've seen enough basketball games, like I've seen enough hockey games, like, right, you can tell, like, when it's just not going to be your night.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where, you know, the overtime started and I think they scored like 35 seconds in.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just, yeah, it was just one of those things where, you know, it sounds crazy to say, but it's like, yeah, like when they score 6 seconds left,
it's
like,
tough to recover.
It's tough to recover, right, man, because you're 6 seconds away. Like in your head, like once you get down to about 30 seconds, you're like, man, we're going to do this. Like we're going on.
Yeah.
Like we survived. And then 6 seconds, it's just tough, man. Like it's, you only have 10 minutes of, you know, intermission between the overtime to kind of mentally regroup, and yeah, so it was tough, man. But
yeah, we kind of went through that similar, like that. It wasn't always a playoff game because we didn't make the playoffs, but our second game we played Ontario Tech, and yeah, we were basically going back and forth the whole game, but we were up for a pretty good chunk of the second half.
Yeah.
And then literally the last play of overtime, or not overtime, it was regulation, it was about 3 seconds left, they got it on the baseline, guy passed the ball, I'm guarding the guy throws a crazy jump hook and banks it in.
Yeah.
And even his teammates, I know a lot of guys on that team, even after, they said, yeah, they thought it was fluke, but then they ended up winning that game by 4. That was Ontario Tech. And this year Ontario Tech obviously did a huge turnaround, went from 4-18 to 16-6.
Damn.
We're ranked in the country. So something I always wonder, like, did that game kind of give them that confidence?
Because
we played them the game after at home, and then we lost, and they took off from there. So it's kind of hard. Like I said, I can relate to, because there's sometimes in certain games where something happens, and it's tough to recover. Like, you try to keep playing because you say, okay, we got another 5 minutes, or in hockey, I think it's 20 minutes for the overtime.
20-minute
exactly,
overtime,
right.
Yeah.
So you have time, but it's like,
it's tough.
I don't know how we're going to bounce back from this one, but
it's tough. And you know, it's like I said, it's like that in every sport, and it's unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is. We, you know, we, if you look back at it realistically, like we won 2 games after Christmas and we were still lucky enough to make playoffs, and like, and you know, we got lucky. Guelph and Western played each other in the last day, like the regular season. And if Guelph would have won, we would have been out. So, you know,
wow,
you could say, you know, did we get lucky to be there? Absolutely. But, you know, that goes for everybody. Everybody needs a bit of luck. But,
right,
you know, it is what it is. You know, it ended up being still a good season after how last year went.
Like, definitely an improvement, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I think, like, well, last year at Christmas, we had 3 points. We had a win and a shootout loss. And then I think we won 3 games after Christmas. So if you look at it realistically, like, we almost doubled our points tally. We had a lot of guys have a really good breakout season. So, you know, it's all positives when you look at it that way, really.
Exactly. And that's how you're supposed to do it, right? You try to see, okay, how did you get better from this year? And the fact that you can have that outlook, especially since you have another year next year, I definitely think there's a lot of promising stuff for next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, switching gears a bit, obviously, you know, I said in the intro, you know, we're both from big cities. You know, I'm from Toronto or Scarborough, to be specific, and you're from Ottawa. Kind of, what was it like growing up in Ottawa, and kind of how did you get into hockey?
Yeah, like, I know Ottawa gets a lot of flack from a lot of people because they say it's the
biggest,
a lot of people, like maybe not you, but a lot of people from the GTA, and then especially like a lot of the guys that I played with from Montreal, like to make fun of Ottawa because they say nothing happens there. And you know what, you're not wrong. Like it's a big city where nothing kind of happens. And but yeah, grew up in Orleans, the east side of Ottawa.
Yeah.
And a lot of Lakers greats come from there. You know, Salty Matt Simard, shout out to him. Brett Moran, a guy that I played with. There's been a ton of Shanley Francis that's on the soccer team now. He's from there. So I just had a really good, you know, a pipeline of Lakers greats, you could say. But yeah, it was wouldn't change it for the world, man. I've always said that like Ottawa is going to be where I settle down. I just think that it's a great place to raise a family because it's big enough where there's a lot of opportunities for people in sports, but just in life. And it's very multicultural. Like I was very lucky to play football growing up and
oh,
met
really?
A lot of people from a lot of different cultures. And You know, I have friends now that I have two buddies now that play in the NFL from Ottawa. So I still, you know, tight with them. And there are people that, you know, if I lived in a city like North Bay or a smaller town, I may not have had the opportunity to meet. So I'm very thankful for that. And Ottawa will always be home. But, you know, I think for getting into hockey, it just kind of like every other, you know, Canadian kid that grows up here, you know, you start skating when you're three and then you start hockey when you're four. And I know it's just always something that my dad was around a lot, you know, growing up, and you know, he was coaching junior teams and stuff like that. So I got to be around a lot of, you know, older guys, you know, and you know, you get your role models that way, and you see who,
right.
I want to be like, you know, so and so. I want to do what he's doing. You know, I want to, you know, play junior A. I want to go to school and play hockey and stuff like that. So I was very fortunate to have a lot of a good role models, and my dad coached me a lot growing up. And I think that that kind of relationship of, you know, being able to experience all the things I did in my minor hockey with him definitely kind of grew my love for the game. And still to this day, man, there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. You know, I'm sure it's like you, like, you know, like the court is like your happy space. Like, you put me in an arena, man, I'm happy as can be.
Right.
Like, I've always said, like, I want to die. Like, it sounds dramatic and like kind of jokey, but at the same time, it's like, if I die watching a hockey game one day, I'm gonna be happy, man. That's a life.
Nice. Like what you've been hearing so far? Make sure to follow us on IG at Lakers Locker Room and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, where you can find clips of all our episodes and video content associated with the podcast. Part 2 of the Lakers Locker Room starts now. So how did you end up at Nipissing? I know earlier you were talking kind of about how it's very different in the hockey system, obviously compared to basketball. You know, some people do prep, like I did prep, so usually really like 1 year. You said it earlier too, like a lot of people come in like 21, it's kind of like how they do in Quebec, where a lot of people do the CJEP, and then we had teammates from CJEP or who graduated last year who came in at 20. Yeah. I had a teammate my first year who was 22 in his first year. So what was it like for you in the hockey system? How did you ultimately end up at Nipissing?
Well, what's interesting though is that most guys come in at 21 because you can play junior hockey from the time you're 16 to 20. That's the age group. But I came in a year early, so I'm a 99 birth year, and my recruiting class would have been the ages of the age of the 98s.
Okay.
So yeah, so I came a bit early. Played my junior hockey for 3 years just locally in Ottawa, and then played 1 year in the Ontario Hockey League in Oshawa. And, you know, something that I look back on, like, just proud, because not a lot of people get to do that. And, you know, and as much as I would have liked to have, like, a more successful career in the OHL, I still got to do it. And I think that as I grow older, that's something that, you know, you kind of look back on less like what could have been and more like, man, like, I got to experience that and think about, like, the fact that I played with guys that play in the NHL now and played against guys that play in the NHL now. But yeah, and as my 19-year-old season was kind of winding down, you know, you kind of see it sometimes, like the writing on the wall that I wasn't going to play in the OHL as a 20-year-old because you only get 3 spots per team.
Right.
So a lot of the 20-year-olds kind of get phased out of the league that way. So kind of saw the writing on the wall and was looking for, you know, what was next for me. And I wasn't even considering, like, going to the OUA yet. Like, I knew that.
Really?
I knew that that was going to be the plan, because if you go play in the OHL or in the Q or in the WHL, any of the 3 major leagues, you're ineligible for the NCAA.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's considered, like, they consider it semi-professional hockey.
Okay.
So, yeah, so NCAA went out the window for me. So OUA was going to be a thing, but I always thought, like everyone else, like, you do the same path where you go and you wait till you're 21 and then you kind of decide. But then I was lucky enough that, you know, having a little bit of family from the area, like the Sudbury North Bay area, that our coach Ray Irwin, our assistant coach Ray Irwin, is really good friends and works with my uncle. And so my uncle kind of made the introduction to me and just said, like, hey, you know, there's a team in North Bay and, you know, that, you know, you should probably reach out to him because I know how things are going for you. And ended up being one of the best decisions I ever made. You know, I got to, instead of, you know, finding a place to play for my last year, I got to start my school a year early, which, you know, looking back on it, was the best thing, just because now, you know, I'm going to be 25 in a little bit here and I'll be done school at, you know, 26, 27 because of teacher's college instead of 28.
Right.
You know, it's only a year, but, you know, looking back on it now, it makes a big difference, really. And, so contact with Coach McParland, and
you know, he was willing to take me a year early when a lot of other teams weren't, and I was reaching out to other teams to kind of be like, hey, could I come a year early? But a lot of them were like, no, like, we like to take guys when they're 21, let them develop and mature and stuff like that. So kind of jumped at the chance, and you know, never thought that, you know, I'd end up being here at Nipissing, but you know, it's all worked out, and honestly one of the best decisions I've ever made, and I have absolutely no regrets.
Yeah, did you? I have a question for you, because I wasn't. Did you know about Nipissing before you came?
What,
or about North Bay in general?
Well, I knew about North Bay because my uncle lives here. I have a grandmother that used to work. Yeah.
Okay.
So probably should have mentioned that earlier, but yeah, have a long connection with Northern Ontario, and like my grandmother used to live down the road, like down Nipissing on Jocko Point. If you know there's the chip stand there and the reserve, so people go there for gas and stuff. But she used to live there, so I spent a ton of time, like, during the summers in North Bay especially.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not even going to lie, I did not know that there was a university here.
I didn't know about North Bay until 2017.
There you go. See, I knew about North Bay, didn't know that there was a university. But, you know, no offense, I love it now. It's my second home now. But, you know, back then, I'm not going to front, I didn't know about it. But, yeah, so I didn't know about it, and was kind of introduced to the university by Coach McParland, and then... Yeah, and then here we are, 5 years later.
5 years later, man.
5 years.
Like, I always tell people, like, I didn't know about North Bay until 2017 because I played prep.
Yeah.
No, I'm lying. So they hosted OFSA here, AAA OFSA basketball. Mm-hmm. And when we qualified, they asked us, okay, where are we going for OFSA? And they said, North Bay, Nipissing University, Canada College. I said,
yeah.
Where is North Bay? So what is Nipissing University?
Yeah. When you hear North Bay for the first, like, I find it funny because they all have, like, friends that aren't familiar, like, you know, if they're... guys that grew up in Ottawa and are kind of oblivious to geography. When you say North Bay sounds a lot more north than it actually is. Like you're
because Sudbury is farther than us. But Sudbury's the biggest city. That's the thing.
Yeah. But the only good thing is that like you're not super like you know for you it's probably like three four hours to get home. It's the same for me if I want to go back to Ottawa.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. Like you know the winters are long. So we've been lucky. Like this year, I think winter's kind of bad.
Yeah.
Last year was bad. Last year, I think. I don't know if it was just because like hockey sucked, but I think that I could honestly tell you with full confidence that we went 2 weeks without seeing the sun in January last year.
It was bad.
And I could tell you that, and with like 98% confidence that I'm not far off.
It was bad.
Yeah,
I remember we came out from Laurentian last year, and it was -32. I remember I had to chug the thing on the freaking. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I'm not gonna miss.
I'm not gonna miss that either.
Hell no.
No. But, you know, obviously, since we're on this podcast, you know, one thing I like to do is we talk about the student-athlete side. Obviously, we talked about the athletics, but let's talk about the student side. So, we've been here for 5 years, and obviously, it's very different with hockey because, you know, you guys are really you and the women's hockey are the only teams that's not predominantly in the athletics sector because you guys are far from the arena. So, kind of, what's been your experience like in terms of balance that while being a student? Because it's very different for people, like I said, if you have class and we have practice, people walk straight to the education center, which is right across the same lot, but if you guys have practice, you guys might have to drive back to school, stuff like that. So what's been your experience like in terms of kind of balancing that as a student?
And I think that the fact that we're the only sport, like the only of the team sports that's predominantly not at the athletic center has its pros and cons. Like, you know, we're very lucky that we have the Memorial Gardens here. It's an OHL facility, and like it's one of the nicer arenas in the OUA. And our dressing room is very nice there, and we have everything we need there, so we're very fortunate from that perspective. Like, yeah, would it be nice to have a rink on campus? Absolutely. Like, it'd be nice. You'd think that you'd get more of the students out to the games, and I don't blame them. Like, you know, if you want to get to the gardens, you got to take a bus or, you know, be in a car. And I know a lot of the students on res, you know, don't have the luxury, and you know, that's totally fair. So, you know, I see your guys' games, you know, if we have bye weeks or something, there's a lot more of students here, which is great for you guys. And I think another thing, too, is that I think that naturally you guys interact with the other teams more so than we do.
Yes.
Especially because, like, you guys have you guys will travel with women's basketball.
Yes.
And, like, volleyball will travel with volleyball.
And all of our locker rooms are within the city of the city.
Yeah, and so that's definitely something that we miss out on. You know, for better or for worse, but I think that that's always something that I've tried to do is, you know, reach out to the people on other teams. Like, you know, I always tell our first years as the older guys, as an older guy on the team, that like, just when you walk around at the athletic center, like if you see someone on another team, just say what's up. Like, just like, hey, how's it going? Like, good luck. Who are you guys playing this weekend? Good luck. And it's a simple conversation, but it ends up going a long way. to, you know, making connections, and then, you know, you're in classes with people and there's other athletes and you have a way of knowing them because maybe you know someone on their team, right, and they can make an introduction and it worked for schoolwork. Or, you know, if you want to have fun on a Saturday night, like, I know, like, you know, always wanted to know where you're DJing and stuff like that. But it's important. Like, yeah, it enhances the student-athlete experience to get to know them. But what's in terms of academics for us, what's interesting is that our practice times are so like varied. Like, we, on Mondays and Tuesdays, we practice at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. at the rink. Okay. And then on Wednesdays, we're at noon. And then on Thursdays, we're at 2. Whereas I think that you guys, your practices are always in the evening.
Yeah.
Which is nice because then, you know, you get all your classes done during the day. Well, for the most part, though.
But here's a concept to that. Is because you're so, especially for guys who are teachers college now, like guys, yeah, like Jack, Jordan, you, mm-hmm, come from placement. This semester was good because, you know, most of our guys were able to have later classes. So, yeah, we were able to practice early. But first semester was all, last year was worse. Because we had like 9 p.m. practice.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
so
late. Man.
So the thing about that, like, yes, it has, oh, yes, you have class all day, but the problem is we're in the gym so much because we don't just do practice. We have practice, yeah, we have weights, we, yeah, have indies, so it's,
you're
a lot.
Here a lot.
So when it's 9:30 p.m. saying you have dinner, yeah, you know, you might be dozing off, and then you wake up like, damn, I gotta go to practice now as, yeah, 9:30.
Yeah, that's, but a, like, tough. It's a grind, man.
It is a grind.
So, you know, yeah, like there's pros and cons to both ways of doing it, but for us it's just like we kind of practice whenever we can, just because we're not the only ones that use the ice, right? Yeah. Like there's the battalion, the women's team, and then obviously all the minor hockey in North Bay, because there's only three arenas in, yeah, North Bay, and, you know, hockey's really big here and stuff like that. They've got the boys minor hockey and the girls minor hockey, so, you know, people need to use the ice. So I think for school, there's a lot of driving around, like going straight from practice, you know, driving here, leaving practice early, coming here and stuff like that. But I think, you know, like everybody else, you kind of get used to it and you learn how to play the game. I always say, you know, okay, you take these classes at this time, or if you can take an online class to make sure you're not missing practices. But eventually, like, you know, like I don't think I've ever gone a year without having to miss a practice because of class, and that's part of the game. Like, you know, that's part of the job, and there's nothing you can really do about it. But yeah, it definitely adds a different dynamic for us being the sport that's off campus the most and not being around. And, you know, I'm sure sometimes you wish that you guys could kind of get a break from, like, doing everything here, because, like you said, like, your weights are here, your practices are here, you do video upstairs here, like, yeah, just, you're here a lot, man.
But honestly, though, it was good, though, because it gave structure, and that's one thing I liked, yeah, because I think the one thing about sports is that it gives you structures.
Absolutely.
Time, especially when you get older, a lot of times people don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think with athletes, like, even when you're, like, for me, I'm graduating, right, so I'm about to go on to the next chapter. So, yeah, like, I feel like because I've learned so much lessons about kind of discipline, kind of having structure, like, mm-hmm, I know I'll be okay because you have those skills from, you know, from younger up until now.
100%.
You know, for you, obviously, you know, and I've always talked about this with other episodes, it's kind of like that evolution, right? From when you come from first year, obviously you're a year older than me, but we came in the same year. Yeah. So it's kind of the same space in terms of, you know, end of teen years, early 20s, you know, yeah, now we're both in our mid-20s, early to mid-20s.
That's kind crazy.
What's the biggest thing you've said that you've noticed a change in yourself that's helped you evolve to who you are right now?
Well, I think that one thing that I noticed in terms of hockey right away was and I'm sure it's the same for you, is that, like, when you got here, when I got here, like, I felt like the seniors, like, the old guys were old.
No, that's, I felt like that, too.
So old.
I think that was, our first year was, like, the last year of, like, that really OG, yeah, like, old, early
90s. And that's what's crazy, too, is that, like, I played with a lot of our when I got here, our team was very old. Like, we were kind of, I was the class being brought in, and we were part of a big recruiting class, and there's only two of us left. Shout out Dev.
Yeah. Same with me, shout out Jack.
Yeah,
it's me and Jack.
OGs, baby. But we were kind of brought in to kind of replenish the cupboard a little bit from the big recruiting class. So there was, I think we ended up graduating 9 or 10 players that year. And, like, I played with a guy, Derek Otterize, who had a kid, like an actual child. Like,
really?
She was, I don't want to get this wrong, but she was probably like 2,
oh, wow,
like 1.5 or 2 years old. And, like, that was crazy. And I always say this, but, like, my, like, welcome to the OUA moment, which is kind of funny, was the first semester, like 2 months into our year, we were going to Montreal to play. And Coach McParland gets on the bus like 5 minutes before we're supposed to leave. And he comes on the bus and he goes, "Yeah, boys, Devrick won't be coming on the trip today because his partner and his child have the flu, and that's part of being a man. And so he didn't come on the trip, and at the time, I'm like 19 or 20, just barely, you know, just turned 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just enjoying being in university and living away from home again.
This guy's got four responsibilities.
And this guy's got like a kid, and he's got to worry about his partner being sick. And it's just like, yeah, that was a big thing for me, is just realizing. And then now, like, I look back on it now, and next year I'll be playing in the OUA and I'll be 25 years old, and that's just as old as the guys were my first year. Yeah. And it's very humbling to think about that, like, I'm the old guy now.
I know,
like,
right?
Like, we're the grandpas of the team, and I give Dev May a lot of stick because he'll be 26, so he's even older than me. Like, he's over halfway to 50. Like, that's old. But yeah, and I think now, like, it's just about, you know, sharing your experiences with the younger guys. And I think, you know, it's like for any sport, you just kind of got to pass along the wisdom, whether it's, you know, how the league works, or, you know, what works with school, you know. And my thing was always just like learning to play the game, because as much as it kind of sounds, you know, shitty to say, like, that's what university is. Like, you just got to learn, you know, what you can do to help you get through it the best. And Nipissing's good for that. There's a lot of resources, and that's the good thing about being at a small school, is that there's a lot of resources that are available that you don't have to wait, you know, a week to hear back from. So I think that that's just part of, you know, being an older player and an older, you know, anything in society, really, just kind of passing it down to the, I hate saying younger generation, because I feel like that makes us sound really,
but the
really old.
Yeah.
Like the people that come after you, because, you know, I want this I want the men's hockey program to do well after I leave, just like I'm sure you're going to follow men's basketball and always going to be concerned about how they're doing, and you want, you know, the program to be in a better place than you left it, for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing with me, like, now that I'm graduating, like, I've been here for 5 years, right? So like now that I'm in this flex of space, it's like, okay, like, I'm done. But like, you kind of touched on too, like, you kind of, you know, one of my teammates, Shannon, who's also from Orleans, shout out to MS 20 Brother Clinton. You know, one thing that Shannon always said was, you know, as when I was a rookie, it was like, leave a place better than you found it, right? And
absolutely.
I feel like with me, I feel like I've done that in the sense of kind of like, because the thing about like being a student athlete is a lot of work, but I feel like these last few years has been great, because obviously once COVID happened, other stuff happened, you know, with Jordan 4 and other stuff, obviously it was an opportunity to kind of get more involved.
Yeah.
And I think from that point on, I've really seen a big change, you know, I've seen a lot more, you know, stuff in the community. Mm-hmm. Just, I think with the school in general, honestly, which I think is really huge, because we're in a small, like you said, we're in a small city, a lot of people look up to us, right? It's not like we're in Toronto or Ottawa or these big cities where it's very easy to get lost within, you know, the ambiance and the vibe of the city. But I think because North Bay, the predominantly, you know, sports is Nipissing Athletics, right? So I think being able to kind of give back to community, kind of having events and bring people out, I think it's been a really big change.
Yeah,
these last few years.
And I think that, you know, we've had a lot of people do that. Like, you've done excellent work with, like, the Shoot for Change game.
Appreciate
and all that.
It.
And Dev Dudenith, shout out to him.
Brother.
Yeah. He's a cop, policeman now.
I know.
He's going into police.
Yes.
Shout out to him, man.
He
Officer Dudenith, believe that.
He is. Scarborough's finest.
Yeah, that's right. Like, and he did excellent stuff too. And like you said, like, I think that, you know, that there's opportunities to do stuff like that here, just because, like you said, like, it's a smaller community, and, you know, you have, as an athlete, you have your hands more on the pulse of the community and stuff like that. And like you said, like, there's not like a major sports team here. There's not a lot. Like, for us, it's a bit different because they have the OHL here, obviously. But like, if you look at, like, for another example, like, our women's hockey team does great work with the youth hockey here. For the girls, the girls program now is the Junior Lakers, just like the volleyball and the soccer, which I think is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to the women's hockey games, or you go to the soccer games or volleyball games, you see a lot of the younger kids wearing their Junior Lakers stuff. And I think that's great to see, man.
That's it.
Like, it just, you know, you get a sense of pride as a player when you see that. But then I also think too, like, it's just good for the community to kind of, you know, grow interest in our program, our sporting programs here. And I think that that's only beneficial, because, you know, if you're a Junior Laker, you want to come watch the real Lakers play. And I think that that's only gonna, you know, make it so that people want to come out more, support the program. And I think that if you get kind of more of that community support, it'll only benefit the programs, like, financially too, which is a big thing being at a smaller university.
Exactly. I think ultimately there's a lot of opportunities at Nipissing to make a name for yourself. Because, and I've always said that too, because, like I said, obviously I'm from Toronto, from Ottawa, but like I said, it's a smaller university. But I think the good thing about it too is that you really get to meet the people within the university that have a relationship with the president. Like, obviously, we can go into athletic director, talk to him anytime. Mm-hmm. Some schools, there might be a whole process of, oh, you have a secretary, then, and if we got a book with this person, then we still got a book, but like it's not as strenuous process versus maybe a U of T or, you know, a U Ottawa or Carleton, like bigger schools like that, or even if we're going to Quebec and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really fortunate to be at a school where I've been able to really build proper relationship and kind of use them to kind of do stuff within the community and stuff like that. I think that's really been the biggest thing, you know. But winding down this podcast, you know, we've talked about a lot of things today. I really appreciate you coming on. But just kind of final words in terms of, you know, you're going to next, you're coming back next year. You know, I'm done. We're both in like in the senior space. But for anyone who's listening to this podcast that's about to come into Nipissing or just going to university next year, kind of what's one word of advice that you can give them from your experience that can kind of help them, you know, have an easier transition process and kind of thrive, especially if they're going to become a student athlete?
Yeah, I think that the main thing is that, you know, your first year is really important, I think, because you kind of either get swept up in the whole thing and, like, I think that it's a lot more complicated. Like, it's a very intimidating scene, like, walking into your first lecture, especially if you're at a bigger school. And, like, I know I have buddies that went to Carleton, and you walk into your first, like, lecture, you're taking, like, intro to sociology or something like that, and there's 300 people in your class, and you're coming from high school where there's maybe, like, 26 people, and you have a prof that doesn't know your name, and you have 8 different buildings. So I think that it differs if you're at a bigger university or at a place like Nipissing. But I just think, man, like, you just, like I said, like I always use analogy, like, you just gotta learn the game, like, you know, reach out to your profs, talk to your TAs, like, know your deans and stuff like that, just because there's so many little things within a university that you don't really think about, that if you really kind of dig deeper into it, that you can figure out, and it really, really helps you out. So I think that that's kind of my biggest thing in terms of athletic, or as terms of academics. But for athletics, I think it's just, you know, it's like anything else in life. You just got to come in and work hard. You know, a lot of times if you're coming into, you know, a varsity team, you know, you were the best, one of the best players, if not the best player on wherever you were before. So I think that there's, you know, something to be said about understanding how to be a first-year athlete. I won't use the rookie word because I know Vito will get mad at us for that. But I think, like, there's something to, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to get hazed or anything like that. But I think that there's just something about, like, you know, knowing how to be a first-year and, like, you know, being humble and paying your dues and stuff like that, and, you know, finding your own way. And then as you get older, kind of growing into, like, whatever role you think that you can fit.
Yeah.
But I think your first year is just all about survival, like, especially that first semester. Like, if you come in and, you know, certain people, they come into university and their grades are excellent right away. But I think, like, for me, it was like that too, where your first kind of couple of years, you might not know what you want to do with your life.
Right.
You're just kind of, you're at a university for, you know, the sport that you're at. Because, like, the same goes for you and me. I don't think, I never would have come here if it wasn't for hockey. No offense.
No diss.
But, no diss at all. But, you know,
it's just reality.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, if you kind of figure out, you know, who you are as a student, what you want to do, it's just so much easier, man. Like, it's just all about making that transition into the next phase of your life as smooth as possible, really.
Yeah, I think for me, like, probably just don't limit yourself.
Yeah.
I think don't limit yourself, dream big. I think with everything you do at sports, if it's, you know, school, like, if you want to get involved with, you know, clubs and stuff like that, like, you know, Nipissing has a lot of clubs, or just any university you go to, I think just don't limit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Dream big, you know. I think university is the opportunity where you get to find yourself and whatever dream that you have that you want to do, or something you want to do that helps you prepare you for the next chapter. Just go for it. Just don't limit yourself. Don't listen to what other people have to say, you know. And just stay true to yourself. I think that's the biggest
thing. And have fun, man.
Have fun.
University's fun.
It's supposed to be fun.
It's 100% supposed to be fun. Like, especially,
I've had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I think everybody has. And that's another thing about North Bay, is being small, is that you never have to look far to have some fun. And a lot of the times, like we always say, like, you know, you don't chase the good times, you let the good times chase you.
Right.
And I think in North Bay, like, that's one thing where, like, you know, you can have a good time anywhere and enjoy it, man. Like, you're only in your early 20s and late teens once. Like, I'm going to be 25 in a couple of weeks, and, like, that's crazy.
25.
Halfway to 50, man. That's crazy. I'm going to be old, bro.
Hey, I'm all a year behind you, so I'm not too far behind.
I know. We're old, man. What happened?
So, I don't know what to say, man. Life.
Exactly.
Life.
Exactly.
But with that, man, this was a really great episode, man. I'm really glad we finally got to do this. So
yes.
Appreciate you for coming on, man. Very insightful, man. I really enjoyed this conversation, man.
Appreciate you, though.
And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. The Quest 100 episode continues. I want to thank my boy Franchise for joining us. You can find the video version on YouTube and listen full into all podcast streaming platforms. Peace.